Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Jeremiah, the 20th chapter. Jeremiah chapter 20 in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 793. We'll be reading the 14th through the 18th verses. We'll read these verses responsively. Jeremiah 20, verses 14 through 18. And let's stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. Cursed be the day wherein I was born. Let not the day wherein my mother bare me be blessed. Cursed be the man who brought tidings to my father, saying, A man-child is born unto thee, making him very glad. And let that man be as the cities which the Lord overthrew, and repented not. And let him hear the cry in the morning, and the shouting at noontide. Because he slew me not from the womb, or that my mother might have been my grave, and her womb to be always great with me. And together on the 18th verse, Wherefore came I forth out of the womb to see labor and sorrow, that my days should be consumed with shame. And let's pray. And Holy Spirit, we ask for thy help. We ask for thy power. This service is important to everybody that's here. But the needs, of course, are various and many. And how we pray for thy meeting with us, that thou wouldst indeed use the message that you've given to our preacher in the hearts of every person here. And may the listening and the absorption with the subject matter be even more than usual. We pray that you'd give us attentiveness and bless, we pray, the hearing and the doing of thy word in Jesus' name. Amen.
I want to speak this morning on the subject, the blah time. B-L-A-H, the blah time. I think it'll apply to most of you today. I really feel that if you'll listen this morning. By the way, are you comfortable? How many are too warm? Would you raise your hand? Too cool? Randy, how about 4 to 6, 4 to 6 and 2? You won't know whether it's going up or down, will you? Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this great church. I want to thank you for the finest people that ever breathed breath who are here this morning, our people. And I pray today that you'd help me to reward them as thy Spirit speaks through me concerning this subject. May we learn something that will help us to understand ourselves better and serve thee more. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you ever wonder why sometimes you feel so close to God and you want to feel like that all the time? And then there come times in your life where you don't feel as close to God. You want to, and you're not doing anything worse than you were doing. You've not changed your habits or your schedule or your lifestyle at all. But the honest, simple truth is you do not feel as close to God as you did feel. Do you ever wonder why that as a husband and wife that there are times of sweet communion, and then times of World War IV. Do you ever wonder why that your wife sometimes seems to think that you're a combination of Billy Sunday and Don Juan, and other times Adolf Hitler, Benito Mussolini, and Hussein? And wives, did you ever wonder why sometimes he looks that way to you? Same guy. Sometimes he looks like handsome Hulk. And other times, unnecessary book. That's pretty good, wasn't it? And I'm on top side this morning, folks. Any way you look at it, you got to understand that. But, and yet the truth is, you don't know yourself. And you'd like to feel that way all the time. Every woman here has wondered why her husband doesn't always act like he sometimes acts. And every man here has often wondered why his wife doesn't act all the time like she does sometime. I've said this before. A woman can tell you she loves you, and in 10 minutes she can tell you she hates you and mean it both times. Now, the honest truth is, that's the way life is. Do you ever wonder why a friendship can't be as close and as rabid all the time as it is some of the time? Do you ever wonder why you open the Bible sometimes and it's like a love letter from heaven, from Jesus himself? And yet you open the Bible sometimes and the truth is you can't wait to get those 4 chapters read. And you wish that they hadn't begotten so many people back there. Do you ever wonder why? All of us have had those times. Sometimes open this book and I cry just to read it. And sometimes open this book and I yawn till I get through reading it. Do you ever wonder why those times come? Do you ever wonder why that sometimes you come to God and you can sing sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known? In seasons of distress and grief, my soul is often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. And prayer is like fellowship with the King of Kings and an audience with the King of Glory. And yet, other times, you cannot think of anything to say. Same God, you're the same person, you're at the same place. And you wonder what it is. Do you ever wonder why sometimes you're so interested? I wonder sometimes. I look at you while I preach sometimes. And I say, boy, that's the most responsive crowd in the world. Other times I look at you and wonder if you can live through the service. We're that way. And by the way, that's as natural as can be. Sometimes we're enthusiastic. And yet sometimes we feel not enthusiastic at all. Sometimes I cannot wait to preach, and sometimes preaching is a duty instead of a privilege. Sometimes you feel affection, and sometimes you feel no affection whatsoever. Do you ever wonder why it's that way? Let me tell you, it's normal. Not only is it normal, but it is necessary. Life is made that way. You see, as Christians, we're half man, or half human, and half spirit. As man, we inhabit time. As spirits, we inhabit eternity. As spiritual, we are eternal. And yet, as physical, our bodies, passions, and personalities are in a continual change. Because to be in time is to be in change. Because that's what time is all about. Now, follow me as I pivot. This causes valleys and peaks in every area of life. If there are no valleys, there are no peaks. If there's no cold, there's no hot. If there's no low, there's no high. Life is necessarily on this earth in the material and physical divided into lows and highs. And the lows are necessary for the highs. Those times when you do not feel quite as amorous toward your mate as others are necessary for you to feel more amorous later on. Those times when you feel less enthusiastic are necessary in order that you may feel more enthusiastic later on. Physical appetites have peaks and valleys and must do so. For example, there are some times when I think I can eat 10,000 calories a day. And I do. But there are other times I cannot believe it, but I'm satisfied with only 9,500 calories a day. This last week, I've been weighing on the same scales for about a year or more, and they've weighed me just about the same, 135. And then there's that other leg. But anyway, I've been weighing about the same thing every time I weigh, and I thought it was awful close to the same thing. I just never gained and hardly ever lost within 2 pounds all the way through. And this week, to my dismay, I found out that the scale was stuck. It wouldn't go any farther than that. And I found out that I weigh 16 pounds more than I thought I did. That's why I've lost my enthusiasm this morning. But it's a horrible thing, really, I mean it. When you're trying to lose weight, you gain 16 pounds in 1 minute, 1 second. I thought about suicide. But I'll never weigh again, that's for sure. But there are times when the appetite, the physical appetites, are less than others. Now, that's necessary, and I'll show you after a while. There are times when our affection increases, and there are times that our affection wanes. There are times when our interest increases, and there are times when we do not understand it, but we have less interest than at other times. There are times when we are enthusiastic, and there are times we want to be enthusiastic, but cannot be. I preached on heaven before, and I was so happy that I felt like I could just step inside the golden streets, and I felt like Jesus was that far from me. There are times I preached on heaven, and I said to myself, why can't I feel like I felt the last time I preached on heaven? I have certain sermons that I preach across the country. I have over 1,800 sermons in my repertoire of messages that I preach across the country. And I preach the same sermon sometimes. And I'll preach a sermon sometime, and I'll say, boy, I'm going to preach it everywhere I go. So I'll preach it the next time, and it doesn't go too well. Now, why? But because there's a certain thing about life that makes the times of less enthusiasm, of less attentiveness, of less zeal, of less affection very important. You see, I'm not talking basically about sin. It may be sin. But I'm talking about the time when you have a neutral feeling, a mild depression, and you might not even know why. But everybody has it. In the Bible, Elijah had it. I mentioned in my class this morning, Elijah, who could pray down fire from heaven, shortly thereafter, got discouraged, got of the juniper tree, said, I'm the only one left. Now, that's the great man that could pray down fire from God. That's the man that could defeat the prophets of Baal. That's the man that could challenge King Ahab, the king of Israel. That's Elijah. But Elijah had that time, the blah time, if you please, when that pullback came. And he was no longer the great, powerful Elijah. There was a blah season there. Jeremiah had it. Read about it a while ago. Jeremiah was the great prophet of tears and compassion. And he cared like nobody else cared and prayed like nobody else prayed for Israel and wept like nobody else ever wept for Israel. And yet the time came and Jeremiah said, I'm going to quit. He lost his burden. He lost his enthusiasm. He lost his compassion. He lost his care. He lost his concern. And he went and he said, I'd like to go out in the country somewhere where the painters paint. And get me a little cottage somewhere, or a little cabin in the country, and I'm not going to preach anymore. And he said, the truth is, I wish I'd never been born. I wish the day were cursed when the doctor said, or the midwife said, it's a boy. He said, I cursed the day of my birth. This is the same Jeremiah who wept for his people and said, mine eyes are like rivers of waters, and yet he came to the blah time. Paul had it. Paul, that great missionary, came to the time, he who wrote Colossians chapter 2 and Galatians chapters 4 and 5 and warned the Jews of going back into their old religious observances. He had his head shaved and gave a Jewish vow and had a time of the blah when he was not the zealot to take the gospel around the world, especially to the Western world. John Mark had it. John Mark, on the missionary journey, got afraid or homesick and at Pamphylia turned around and went home. James and John had the time when they no longer were the industrious James and the lovable John, but they wanted the first main seats in the kingdom, the seat on the right hand and the seat on the left hand. You're not the only one, and it's not unique to you, and it's as necessary. The low days are as necessary as the high days, and the blah days are as necessary as the victorious days, because that's the way man is put together. Peter had it. We talked about it a few sermons ago. He had the time of pulling back. He was no longer the great sermon of preacher of Pentecost. He was no longer the leader of the apostles, but he pulled back. Abraham had it. Left the land of Canaan, went down the land of Egypt, and even Jesus had it in the Garden of Gethsemane when he said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Now, I want to say two things. First, it's perfectly normal. Listen to me. It is perfectly normal. Everybody has it. Second thing I want to say, it is necessary to success. Let me give you an example.
I have a hammer here. I'm going to hit the folks in the heads who are asleep right now. I got a hammer here. Now, that hammer, you've got to pull back to pull forward. And that pulling back is what causes you to pull forward. Now, there have to be times of pulling back. Now, when that hammer is going back, it's building nothing. When that hammer is going back, it is not doing anything constructive at all. But that going back is necessary in order to... Look at that power I'm building up right now. But it is necessary because there's no power. Now this is the time. Nothing's being built. No nail has gone deeper. No wall has gone up. No house has been built. But this time is just as important as that time because the power comes from building back. Where did Elijah get his power? Elijah got his power when he had to draw back sometimes. And by the way, every one of these men that I talked to you about a while ago, they came back with a mighty blast of energy and power and victory. So that's necessary. You got to have those times. You can't feel all the time like you do sometimes because it is the withdrawal sometimes. Okay, how many young men at the altar about to get married, and they've said to me, waiting outside in the hallway or over the waiting room, they said, Brother Hiles, I said, when did you realize you loved her? And they said, when she was all gone for the summer. Or I was separated from her. What was that? The drawing back made it possible for the success of the future. You take a saw. And now, you've got to go this way. What are y'all laughing at? I mean, look, if you're a he-man, you guys have brought some knitting needles out here. But I'm a real man. Now, when you saw on something, you've got to pull back. Now, that's what saws, but that is necessary in order for you to saw. And so, this morning, oh, Brother House, why can't I always feel like I sometimes feel? You're getting the power for a thrust again. That's what it's all about. That's life is all that way. Sometimes I eat. But there are periods when I'm not hungry. Up to 30 minutes at a time sometimes. I went to the dentist the other day and had 9 cavities and filled. Yeah. But I asked him to give me a sucker when I got through. I didn't cry yet. But I had 9 cavities. But I started to leave. And the nurse said, I'm sorry, Reverend, but said, you can't eat now for an hour. I said, ma'am, I'll miss 3 meals. But look, the human nature and the physical and the temporal is made that way. Power comes from those times of inactivity. You're going to box, you pull back. The times of inactivity, the times of non-production are necessary for the times of production. You throw a ball. You don't push it like that. You throw it. If Nolan Ryan pitches, he does like that, and then he pulls his arm back like that. Now, that's necessary. The ball is not going forward when he's doing like that. But that's necessary in order for the ball to go forward. The same thing is true with the chopping of a tree. You take an axe and just hold it there against the tree, and you won't do any good. But you've got to pull back and hit the tree and pull back. Same thing is true with hitting a baseball or in track, the shot put. The fellow's going to throw the shot. He goes like this. What's he doing? He's not doing anything. He's getting power to go forward. So I'm saying that's a natural thing. You take the matter of a standing jump. A fellow's going to jump. He goes like this. He goes down before he goes up and out. And back in the days when we had a dirt road, a car got stuck. You didn't get the car unstuck by just going forward all the time. You put it in reverse. You went back. Then you came forward a little farther. And you came back. Went forward a little farther. Every time you came back a little less far back. And then you went farther forward. That's life. Life is not made that way. Life is made like this. Christian growth is not made that way. Christian growth is made this way. I have a chapter in my book on blue denim and lace
are called how high are your valleys. Valleys are necessary. You cannot succeed without valleys. You cannot climb the mountain without valleys. You cannot go higher without a valley. But if you can keep your valleys lower, then you go higher and back down, but not far back down and then higher, like that. I'm saying they're necessary. Whether it's a hammer, a shot put, throwing a ball, a discus throw, getting a car unstuck, or chopping a tree, it's all the same way. And life is that way. Now listen to me. Here's what happens. You get in one of those little blah time periods and you make some foolish decisions. You don't know they're normal. You think you're backslidden. You think you're not close to God. And I want to make a few statements about that. In the first place is this. Don't make decisions when you're going back like that. Don't make them. And you're going to have them. You've got to pull back to go forward. And you've got to pull back to build the house. It's necessary to pull back. But don't make decisions when you're at that time. I know a preacher, one of my favorite men. He was pastoring in a church out east. He got discouraged. Something happened in his church about the music, and he was upset and discouraged. He had one of the fastest growing churches in all the east. A wonderful man. A dear, dear, beloved friend of mine. And that man said to me, in the time, we're having a low time, a blah time. He said to me, I got discouraged. I quit my church. And he said, Brother Hiles, it is the biggest mistake I've ever made in my life. And let me tell you something, folks. Don't make decisions when you're in the blah time. Don't do it. People in college get in the blah time. They go home. Sometimes a wife gets in the blah time and she says, I don't love him anymore. Now, don't make a decision now. Well, I'm going to leave my husband. I don't love him anymore. I'm telling you what, you don't know whether you love him. Don't make decisions like that. I have a preacher friend that got discouraged in one of those times of pulling back one Sunday morning. And he got so discouraged, he said, by the way, next Sunday is my last Sunday, and resigned his church. Why? He resigned his church in a pulling back time. No, don't ever do that. Don't make decisions then. You'll make the wrong decision. That's a part of going forward. And you can't go forward unless you pull back. Number two. Don't change anything. Don't change anything. When you're in that little period. And let me say this. I don't feel like I used to feel. You can't feel like you used to feel. We're human beings. We've got to go down to go up. There are going to be times when you'd like to grab your wife and hug her and kiss her and make her feel like that you invented a romance. There are times you want to get this hammer I got in here and slug her in the head with it. Now, don't do it. Don't do it. Just use your fist. The hammer might hurt it too bad. But don't do it. So I'm saying don't change anything. I'll guarantee you there are women in this room right now who say, I don't love my husband anymore. Now, all in the world you are, you are in this period right here. I shouldn't have said that. But about to hit him with a hammer. But you're in this period right here. But don't do that. Look, I serve God full time. I preach almost every day of my life. My whole life is wrapped up in this. I know what it is to take a day off. I give it all I've got. But there are times I've got to pull back. There are times I'm in a motel room and I say, I'm just too tired to go tonight, but I go. Why? Because I don't make any decisions while I'm in that place right there. That's the danger of it. I've known folks to up and sell their house and move to another state while they're at that time. I've known husbands to quit their wives and get divorces while they're at that time. Man sat in my office of the day. And he said, I thought I was in love with another woman. And he said, I divorced my wife. I married the other woman. And he said, I'd give anything in this world if I had my first wife back. I did it at a time of weakness. Here's when he did it, while he was coming back. Listen to me. Listen to me. No talking. Listen. Hey, I'm preaching to be heard. Listen to me. Listen to me. This time right here, you got to have it to get the power to go forward. Jeremiah had it. He got power to go farther. Elijah had it. He got power to go farther. James and John had it. They got power to go forward. Peter had it. He got power to change the world for God. And let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you got to have it. There's no other way. Number three, accept it and enjoy its advantages. There are advantages to that time when you're pulling back. The time when nothing's being built. The time you can't see the hammer, the nail, any farther in than it was a while ago. The advantages to that time. Young couples, especially young men, listen to me. Don't think your wife doesn't love you just because she doesn't seem interested in When you come to hug her and kiss her, she doesn't seem interested right now. I mean, you can't live on a honeymoon all the time. And those times when you're working together are as important as those times when you're hugging and embracing. And those times at First Baptist Church of Hammond, when it seems like the crowds will not grow, and the battles come, and the heartaches come, those are pulling back times. I'm talking to folks today. You're in the time of blahs in your business. And what you'll do, I know men change jobs because during that time right there. No, don't do it. That's the blah time. You'll quit your business or want to go somewhere else or want to leave school or want to leave your wife or want to leave your husband. No, sir. Those are the time. It is as important. This time is important as that time. You've got to come back if you go forward. You've got to have the blahs. They're ducking down here on the front. You got to have the blahs. You got to have the valleys. Because the valleys... Why, I can recall years ago when I was a kid, we had a hill in Dallas called Thomas Hill. We had a Willys car. You folks know what Willys cars are all about. The clutches slipped. Now, of course, you young whippersnappers don't know anything about slipping clutches. But didn't have automatic transmission those days. Had standard transmission. And our clutch slipping was when we pushed in hard on the accelerator, and it ran, but the gear didn't work, and you had it in gear, but it's like it was in neutral. And we had that little Willys car, and it could make it about two-thirds up Thomas Hill. So what we had to do, we had to back that thing way up, way, way back. Every time we'd get to Thomas Hill, we'd back that car up. I can see my dad right now. He'd floorboard it, the old clutches slipped, we'd take off of Thomas Hill, and we'd get almost to the top of Thomas Hill. Remember the chicken bump? Had a chicken bump there. It had a hatchery there. It had a bump there at the top of that hill. Everybody called it the chicken bump. I thought you'd like to know about that. But we wouldn't quite make it. Nothing new. What could we do? We had to back it down. And go back farther than we did before. And get way back here. And then get a running start, you know. And take off up the hill. And we get a little closer to the top. And my dad would say words that could not be used at this moment. But we couldn't get to the top. We'd back, roll that thing back down the hill, get way back up here, and then we'd come on faster, and then, wow! We'd go all the way up and get almost to the top and go, chugga, 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 chugga. I think I'll leave you right here. Come back tonight for the closing of this illustration. But now here's what we had to do. Without those times of going back, we don't make the hill. Without those times of going back, you don't make the hill. Hell, you say, I went to Chapel House, and they weren't as wild as they usually are. Well, okay, there have got to be times when you go back. You can't be all the time like you are some of the time. And I'm simply saying, accept it and enjoy. Hey, in the 1960s, early 60s, Dr. John Rice had the battle of his life. Sword of the Lord went down. You wouldn't believe how far down it went. I wouldn't even tell you. But the sword of the Lord went down way, way down in subscriptions. Dr. Rice in a battle of his life. And I was in it with him. But Dr. Rice kept on going. That's I also want to say this. Just keep on going. What goes around comes around. And that valley that I saw John Rice go through, he just backed the old thing up and went and ended his life in a blaze of glory. I saw Hyman Appleman. Somebody said something awful about the evangelist Hyman Appleman. You wouldn't believe what they said. And boy, he was in the valley for a long, long time. But brother, he just kept on going, and finally he came back to the top of the hill again. Lester Roloff faced a time when the whole world almost was against him. He's not like he couldn't hardly stand it, but old Lester kept on going. And that's what you do. Keep on going. Teach your class if you don't feel like teaching your class. Preach if you don't feel like preaching. Go to church if you don't feel like going to church. When you don't enjoy it, read the Bible anyway. If you don't love to pray, pray anyhow. You don't enjoy going soul winning, go soul winning anyhow. That's the drawing back. And that's where you get your power. When you draw back, you keep on. But let me show you something. Here's a guy who says, I'm not enjoying this, I'll quit. That's all he's going to get. The guy says, I won't quit. I'll take this time of drawing back. And I'll take it, brother, every time. Every inch he draws back, he's getting power for a blow after a while. And that's what it's all about. Don't quit when you're drawing back. Keep on going. Keep on teaching. Keep on preaching. Keep on witnessing. Keep on and keep on going. Don't turn back and don't quit and don't stop. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. And I want to say this. Accept it in others. Accept it in others. Your husband still loves you, woman. He still loves you. Your wife still loves you, fella. She still loves you. She didn't meet you at the car door tonight. Not even the house door, the car door. Remember that first night you got married? She met you at the bus. But she didn't meet you at the door. She didn't throw her arms around you and say, "You big hunk of man, you come out here." Yeah. She didn't say that. But she still loves you. And when your friend doesn't seem quite as interested in being with you as he once did, he still loves you. It's important to come back. If you're going to jump, you've got to do like this before you jump. If you're going to throw a ball, you've got to pull back to throw the ball. If you're going to throw the shot put, you've got to pull back. If you're going to throw a discus, you've got to do like this and pull back. And then you throw that discus around and throw it. All of force is that way. All of humanity is that way. The blahs are just as important a part of your success as the high hours are. And the valleys are just as important a part of your success as the mountains are. I'm talking to folks right now. You got some problems. You got burdens. You got battles. You've got heartaches. You're in the pulling back time. You don't see anything being built right now. You don't see the house going up right now. You're just getting some power. You cannot stay intense all the time. Last, don't talk about it. Don't talk about it. Don't say things you shouldn't say. I don't feel the same way I used to feel toward you. But you will again if you'll keep your big mouth shut now. There are folks here right now. You love me, but your love for me right now is not a crusading kind of a love. We should hurry up and get it there, but it's not a crusading kind of a love. But I'm your preacher, and you love me. But there are times when you get at home and maybe you get to thinking about these 31 years when I stood and pronounced you husband and wife, or stood beside the casket where someone dear to you lay, or counseled with you and helped pull you out and find a way out of your problems and burdens in my office as a counselor with you. You get thinking about vacation Bible school when you were a child, and Brother Hiles used to get up here and have Silly Billy and Footy, any old timer. And Pee Wee. And you get to thinking, I love that guy. And you sit down and you write a note and you sit there, Brother Hiles, I'm just thinking how much you've meant to me through the years. I want to thank you for this and this and this and this. The other times you think about me, you say, good night, when's you going to get through? I can tell you he's going to get through. When he gets ready to get through, that's when he's going to get through. But it doesn't mean you don't love me. There are times I'll stand up here and preach, and I want to grab you and shake you and say, in God's name, why don't you do something for God? Other times I want to stand up here and I feel like crying and saying, God bless you, I love you, and I thank God for you. All are important. I'm talking to folks tonight, this morning, who the blahs have got you. You're in the place right now. May I say this? So am I. I'm in a battle of my life and for my life. I'm near the time of my life right now, and sometimes it's hard to see the construction. It's hard to see the nail going in. And you're there too, some of you. I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm not going to stop right there. However far back I got to go, I'm going to go. But you'll live long enough. You'll live long enough to see me get the full thrust. I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm going to hang in there. Why don't you?
Let's bow our heads for prayer, please.